This is Jose Lessa. I cannot tell you how honoured I am to be speaking to the gentleman who is sitting next to me at the moment. It is Captain Eric Winkle Brown, former officer in the Royal Navy and test pilot, with a world record 2,407 landings, 487 aircraft. That is incredible. How did you get into flying?
Well, I got into flying through Germany. The reason being, I went to the Olympic Games in 1936 with my father, who was an RAFC pilot, and we met ex-combatants from World War I, and one of them became very interested in, if you like to say, a young boy who was an enthusiast in aviation. And he had been the second top scorer after Richthofen in World War I. He was called Ernst Udet. And he took me flying. And after it was all over, he said to me, now, he didn't speak very good English, but he managed to convey what he was saying. He said, do try and learn to fly and learn to speak German. And you know, I set myself these two goals in life and achieved them both. So I owe him a lot in that respect.
And how old were you at the time?
17.
That's incredible. So how did you progress then? So you were 17, you'd met this gentleman.
Came back and went to Edinburgh University to take a degree in modern languages and also joined the University Air Squadron. And here you had free flying. I couldn't believe my luck. And at the end of it, you had the option of joining the RAF or not. But, of course, there was no option because war came, and that was that. And from there, I went into the RAF for a very short time. But it was the period in September 1939 of what we called the Phony War. Well, there really wasn't much action going on. And as a young boy, I was roaring to go, and nothing was happening. So at that time, the aircraft carrier Courageous was sunk in the Irish Sea in September 39, and they lost a huge number of pilots and asked the RAF if they could release any. So a notice was put up on the board saying, if you're interested in going into Fleet Air Arm, append your name here. So I did that very thing. And that was it. I was in the Fleet Arm for the rest of my career.
Now, you became a test pilot. 487 aircraft?
You have to be in the right place at the right time. Now, this was largely achieved by the fact, of course, Farnborough at that time received every aircraft that would go into service with the RAF. And they were pouring in from America. There was an exchange. We would give Americans one for every one we had, but for every one they got, we got five from them. And then when the war ceased, because of my language ability or linguistic ability, I was sent to Germany, Italy, Japan, and Russia. Oh, yeah, I did some Russian ones as well. So they were just pouring in. And it was exciting because you never knew what they were like. Nobody would tell you how to fly them. So it was very much a question of touch and see. But we were quite shattered to find out how advanced the Germans were compared with us at this final stage of the war. Here was the jet engine invented by Frank Whittle, but the Germans had moved ahead. They didn't invent the jet engine, but they got the information and worked on it. Produced jet aircraft, rocket aircraft, which were frighteningly fast compared with us. Now, the reason for this was, here we are with two of the very sophisticated nations in the world, United States and ourselves, and we didn't have a supersonic wind tunnel. Now, if you are going to get very fast and advanced aircraft, you've got to have supersonic wind tunnels. And the Germans had them in multitude. So I was given the job of locating these, finding where they were, and if necessary, bringing them back to this country. So we brought many of their rocket and jet aircraft back here, and I had with me a batch of top Farnborough scientists to look over these wind tunnels, because Winston Churchill was very keen that we find absolutely everything about them.
What was the highlight for you as far as flying these aircraft is concerned?
I think the highlight in flying these particular aircraft was we located the German Messerschmitt 163 rocket fighter. Now, this was a highly dangerous machine, really, because of the volatility of the fuels. They were so volatile. I was given a demonstration where you drop one spot of the main fuel on the floor, which is concentrated hydrogen peroxide, then drop another drop of the catalyst on top of it. And with these two drops, you get an explosion, which the two people dropping the stuff were knocked back off their feet. And you go up with this stuff, which is incredibly powerful, propels you at an incredibly fast speed. There's not much of it, but if you don't burn it all up and have to land with even a wine glass full still in the aircraft, when you touch down on the landing skid, if you have any fuel aboard, you will almost certainly explode and be killed. And in fact, the Germans lost 42 aircraft doing just that. So I tell you, when I flew the 163, I pumped the fuel jets and release harder than it had ever been pumped, I think, before.
My gosh, that's an astonishing story. What about your favourite aircraft?
Well, out of all the aircraft I've flown, I have a favourite piston engine one and a favourite jet. Favourite piston was the de Havilland Hornet, which was the successor of the famous Mosquito, of course. Twin-engined, the big thing about it was totally overpowered. It was like having your own Ferrari in the sky. Absolutely beautiful. It could do anything on one engine that it could do on two. It really was startling. And my favourite jet is the North American Sabre. Why was it my favourite? Because it had what all pilots look for, beautiful harmony of control. That is, the controls just make the pilot feel part, he's bonded with the aircraft. Absolutely beautiful.
So when did you decide that it was time to stop? I mean, when I look at those statistics, 2,407 landings.
There comes a time, of course, when the Navy says you served for... Well, I had served 32 years, and in effect, kiss you goodbye. So you don't have access to their aircraft any longer. They still take hold of you to get some of the expertise out of you, or the, if you like, the experience out of you. But the Navy have treated me exceptionally well in my retirement. And I think when you are devoted to your service, it makes you feel, well, everything you did was very much worthwhile.
This is Josette Lesser. Captain Eric Winkle-Brown, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Pleasure.